He says of himself as a composer, "Brouwer is always moving forward, but my evolution has been characterized by fusion, a gradual change forward." As he told Rodolfo Betancourt in Guitar Review, Leo Brouwer was born in Havana in 1939, and he has written significantly for guitar, orchestra, for ballet, and film. And we find that in using the word fusion to describe his composing over the years, he doesn't seem to mean a superficial coupling of styles or genres, and he turns to the world of nature to explain. We're told Brouwer denies that his new music constitutes in any way a return to his roots. He insists that the roots have been in his music all along, even in the most difficult of his atonal and/or aleatoric work. The implication is that his composition is not a path leading to a destination, but a growth, a large tree perhaps. We have been considering the branches and the foliage, but now we are being invited to contemplate the roots which have been there all the time, as he explained to Colin Cooper in Classical Guitar News. So rather than circling back and reclaiming, the image of percolating up or through is more appropriate here. We might even use the word infusion. Brouwer contends that all along, no matter what he has been writing, it has been infused with who he is, what he's heard, and what he's been shaped by, having been born in Cuba. As it happens, a piece by Leo Brouwer opens a recent album titled Infusion, featuring guitarist Jason Viau and Julien Labro, accordion and bandoneon. They are three dances, and they draw us into the dynamic interrelatedness that can be so characteristic of dance and of this recording itself. Just think of two dancers experiencing a fluid motion of encircling, encompassing, permeating, enveloping, outstretching. Neither leader nor follower, just a reciprocal giving and receiving, larger than the two themselves. And with each new relationship or encounter with style, they are part of a constantly new and evolving reality, as Catherine Acuña has written. And there's that word again, evolving. And so we're left with Leo Brouwer's image of the spiral, an eternal spiral. We might joke that Jason Viau and Julien Labro are perfectly suited for such a creative experience because they both were born in port cities, Buffalo and Marseille, and so they're open to the flow of what comes in and out of their lives. We can joke further that that might just be the reason Jason Viau so much enjoyed his time performing here in Scranton at the invitation of the Classical Guitar Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania a few years ago, when they took him to Cooper's seafood restaurant that is architecturally shaped like a ship, and he felt right at home. And he remembers his experience to this day, and even what he played on the Scranton program. We had a chance to speak with Jason and Julien about their new recording, Infusion, and how they came together. Jason Viau.
I've been based in Cleveland for many years, and there's a wonderful jazz club here called Nighttown that has some of the, really the finest and most revered jazz artists play at it. And Julien, with his the group that he's part of in based in Detroit called Hot Club of Detroit, which is kind of a gypsy jazz style group. This would have been about 8 years ago. They've been playing there ever since, but they would play Nighttown about two or more times a year. So if I was in town, Alan Bice, the producer of Ezeka Records, and I would always try to check him out whenever we could. And we just became, you know, fans and of the band, but also particularly of Julien and his soloing and also how he just functioned within the band. Thank you. I just never heard accordion playing like this. Like it, just his improvising and the way he would shape a solo and kind of whip the crowd into a frenzy. And, you know, it was just an amazing thing to listen to and experience. And then of course, you know, like with everybody at a lot of folks at Nighttown, they would come hang out at the bar, and we'd all just kind of stand around and have a couple beers and talk about music. And Julian and I discovered that we cut a pretty wide swath, if you will, as far as what our interests and tastes run, pretty much run the gamut. And so we just started, I asked if he had played the bandoneon, because he was playing accordion, of course, in Hot Club of Detroit, and asked if he had ever played the Piazzolla double concerto for guitar and bandoneon, original piece for those two instruments. And he said he hadn't, and I hadn't, and always wanted to. So I arranged a concert with a local presenter in Cleveland. And so we not only played that, but we also played the duo originally for flute and guitar called History of the Tango, a sort of a four movement cycle. And we each did some other things in this concert, and it was a big success. The reaction to it was incredible. But more than that, it was Julian and I really discovered that it was kind of a synergy there in terms of performances and performing and rehearsing together. And so that's kind of how it started.
And tell us about the title, Julian, Infusion. How did that bubble up?
Well, I think it came at the end. You know, when you put those projects together, us musicians don't necessarily think about the titles and marketing aspect of it. I would say that's other people's job. We think more about the artistic first and foremost. But in this case, we thought Infusion was the right title. It made sense to us because musically, well, Jason and I will come from different backgrounds, different instruments. I mean, Jason grew up in Buffalo. I grew up outside of Marseille, France. And yet, you know, we had so much music in common. And we didn't know each other. And yet, like, it was like when we started playing together, it felt like we had been playing together. So that was easy. In the sense that musically we would come together and merge our styles, and also within the genres, we thought that Infusion represented a good variety of musical landscape that we're trying to portray. And also within those arrangements, we made sure that we brought our own DNA to them. So it's kind of developing a sound, the sound, the combination of Jason's sound and my sound within the piece, to make sure that we do justice to the music as well. So serving the composers in the music, as well as hopefully inspiring a few other people out there, and hoping that a few listeners will dig what we do.
You talked about the sound, your sound, Julian, and your sound, Jason. Julian, you've got that sustaining sound. You can hold your note and just let it go or make it short. And you, Jason, that precise attack with the guitar and then the decay. But isn't that such an important part of this album?
Yeah, I guess the sort of the contrast of the two instruments together, but also the ways that they can blend. I guess the blend part is more or less instinctive, because we don't necessarily make an effort to do it. It's more in the arranging. I think the arranging that Julian does, or that I might do with, say, like the Pat Metheny tune, Antonia, or the Tears for Fears thing, is really just sort of finding a way to where, you know, the two instruments sound good together, but not necessarily to blend them.
I think phrasing is the key of the answer to a lot of that, is we end up, and we don't necessarily talk about it, or it might be written a certain way on the page, but we always check each other by just say, hey, let me hear how you play this phrase, and then to make sure that at least we in sync with that. And I think, like Jason stated, it's a lot of it is instinct. But, you know, when you start playing music for a while with different people, I mean, sometimes you hope that it happens, and sometimes, unfortunately, depending on who you play with, unfortunately, it doesn't happen as quickly as you wish. But in our case, I feel like from the get-go, once the first time we strapped on our instruments together, we were just like ready to roll, and we there's hardly any discussion. A lot of times we just listen to each other and we adjust, and then after that it's like, I feel like that's good music making, in the sense that we adjust to each other. And sometimes we're, you know, I might take a backseat role when it's time, like I understand that, you know, Jason needs there, that's a spot where it totally makes sense that the guitar be up front, and then vice versa. And I think we have a good equilibrium between that and a good exchange, which makes, you know, playing in this setting with a dual partner like Jason, it makes it fun and also entertaining. And we also, while we, you know, a lot of it is from the classical repertoire, we make sure that we give ourselves a little bit of freedom within that, so we can change things and keep it fresh, which is important to us.
Yeah, I don't think the music really, the music or the CD really has any kind of, I mean, when I listen to it, it's very hard for me to assign any kind of tag to it, in a way, I almost don't know where it's coming from sometimes. It's, you know, a lot of the arranging, like of a Squalo, for example, is just entirely kind of like a stream of consciousness kind of thing with just a very simple idea, and then just kind of it just got opened up into like allowing all kinds of things to happen.
Yep. One of us might present an idea, and then once we get together in rehearsal, that idea, you'll see shape and form changing. And that's what's great about collaborating with great musicians. I mean, in the case of Jason, you know, I don't know many classical musicians. I mean, it's coming now. It's definitely something which is great. Like, people are becoming more and more flexible musically, which is interesting. And in Jason's case, having the virtuosity that he has and the command of his instrument, he enables him, in the knowledge of style, enables him to just cross genres very, you know, very accurately, and also with taste, which is sometimes there's a lot of crossover records out there, but unfortunately many of them, in my opinion, missed the spot because it's not necessarily, the research wasn't done, or it's in poor taste.
The word you used was fun, Julian, and Jason, your album Play always reminds me of many senses of the word play. There's serious play, and this sounds playful in that wonderfully serious way, and when we put the CD on right off the bat, it feels to me like you two are just really dancing with each other, not just having a conversation. You're not just doing it for people to dance to. It sounds like you two are dancing with each other.
Well, it's exciting. It's just exciting to play with, you know, like you said, it's like, I mean, Julian has played with just so many people, and I've played with so many people over the years, different chamber music settings and concertos and collaborations and stuff. But this is very unique for me because of this component of it being a vehicle for some new arranging, some new arrangements, but also a vehicle for me actually to kind of, you know, every once in a while be able to improvise, which I used to do a little bit, you know, sort of semi professionally in Cleveland in the mid 90s, but never really got a chance to explore it or to develop it really until this collaboration. So that in a way provides its own excitement because, you know, there's just an edge. There's an edge, yeah, to the performance that really is, I think, is something that it's just different, you know, for me. So
I think the fact that we keep things fresh allows us for us to have a clearer mind, and for the audience too. I think they sense that. There's sometimes it's almost like our live performance, for example, if we play those pieces now, it will sound, you know, 80% might be there, but that 20% remaining might just be something that's what live music, that's what people say, hey, you have to go to concerts. I mean, that's why, because sometimes there's just that extra, yeah, extra magical thing, or sometimes magical, sometimes not so, but you hope it's magical as a performer.
Yeah. We're allowing that to happen and not worrying about it. Like, those arrangements might change, like, you know, the next performance. We don't know. We have no idea.
Jason, you told us in one of our conversations about improvising a solo with a drummer, and you used the word pocket with the pulse and the push-pull and all those things. That's talking about the phrasing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, well, for example, playing to Jamie Haddad and Peter Dominguez in my headphones on the session. Like, it's like, I mean, I knew his work from Paul Simon records, you know, like Graceland and, you know, Rhythm of the Saints and stuff like that. But it's like, but then kind of hearing him in my headphones, and now you're like, you're playing to him. Like, you're soloing over this groove that he's providing is just such an exhilarating, you know, thing for me to do. And, you know, it's, you know, and then Julian Lebrow, like right in the session, like, you know, here's what we're going to do today. Like, you know, he said, like on the third movement of Natalie, you know, Jason, let's trade 16s, like 16 bars each of the solo over the changes, then 8, then 4, then 2. I was like, whoa, hold on. I was like, I'm not, I don't know that I can really do this kind of thing. And then you do it, and it's really, you know, just, it's really very fun, you know, just a great thing for me to be able to experience.
And one question for you, Julian. A number of immigrants came to our area from Central Europe, and they brought with them their love of music, and many of them the tradition of the accordion as a folk ethnic instrument. How did you begin with the accordion?
I grew up in France, so in Europe, the accordion is really popular, and especially in France. And I got to see the instrument on TV. So when I was a child, I was about 9 years old, and I just fell in love with the sound and just the buttons, the bells, everything, all its component. And, you know, I decided, I asked my parents if I could attend to play one. And at first they thought I was joking, but I think now, after doing this for a while, I think they realized that I was serious.
You did pretty good for yourself.
So, the accordion is a fun instrument, and it's certainly a polkas. It has a lot of it has a big place in popular music, and thankfully it's still there. But also, what we're trying to do with a project like this is show perhaps a different light that the instrument can be represented in, and so we hope we do that.
Julian Labro, accordion and bandoneon, and Jason Vio, guitar, speaking with us about their recent album titled Infusion on Azika Records, with pieces by Astor Piazzolla, Radames Gnatale, Pat Metheny, Tears for Fears, and Leo Brower. They're joined by Peter Dominguez, bass, and Jamie Haddad, drums and percussion. Jamie Haddad, a one-time resident of the Poconos here in the well-known jazz community. And that's on the Gnatale suite, a four-movement suite. There is a single-movement piece, as we heard Jason describe, the Piazzolla kind of stream of consciousness. There are the three opening dances by Leo Brower, and that's what we'll hear. There is the Pat Metheny piece, and Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Tears for Fears responsible for that. That's the closing cut on this Azika Records CD. For more information on the web, azika.com, A-Z-I-C-A, azika.com. Jason Vio performed not too long ago here in Scranton as a guest of the Classical Guitar Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania.